Good evening. I'm Pastor Tuck, and welcome to The Heart of the Pastor, the show that takes you behind the pulpit to reveal the compassion, call, and character of men and women of God who serve the body of Christ, as well as what it cost them to do so. And on tonight's episode, I have the privilege of speaking with none other than Pastor Edwin Strickland, a man who I've known for almost 20 years, one of my spiritual uncles. And I am so blessed to be able to have him here. He is the pastor, one of the senior pastors of Fellowship of Champions out in Arkansas. And he pastors with his wonderful wife, one of my favorite preachers in the entire world, Pastor Sean Strickland. And I am so blessed to have him on the show tonight. And I'm excited about what we're going to talk about. So without further ado, I want to bring to the show and welcome him here today, Pastor Edwin Strickland. Pastor Strick.
How you doing, Pastor Lewis?
Hey, man. Blessed to have you, man. Man, long time no see, man.
I know. Happy to be here, man. Listen, I feel like I get to see you because I follow you on Facebook, but I need to see you in person sometime soon.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, man. Been a long time since we've been able to press the flesh, man. But, man, yes. I tell you, man, y'all guys are a blessing, man. I tell folk all the time. I said, boy, if y'all don't get some of that, boy. I said, man, Fellowship of Champions, y'all got the right name. If folks don't know how to win, man, with y'all, they just don't want to win. They just want to stay losing.
Listen, and we want to help everybody win.
I tell you, man, I said, man, me and my wife are talking, man. I said, man, I got to get Pastor Strick on. I said, man, we got to get Pastor Sean back on, man. I tell you what, Pastor Sean make you want to run through a brick wall, boy. I tell her, I said, anytime Pastor Sean is preaching, I'd be trying to tune in. I'm like, boy, she one of my favorite preachers in the world.
Listen, when I told her I was going to be on your show, she said, all right. She said, you tell Pastor I need to be back on there. I said, I'll let him know.
I'm trying to get Pastor Sean to get her a spot on the channel, man. We got a spot on here. All she got to tell me when she want it. We got a spot for Pastor Sean. I'm telling you. The world needs more Pastor Sean. Everybody needs some Pastor Sean in their life.
I agree. I'm telling you, man.
well, Doc, can you share some of the vision of Fellowship of Champions? I mean, with a name like that, people need to understand what y'all all about.
You know, it's interesting. People ask us literally all the time. They say, why did you name your church Fellowship of Champions? And I jokingly respond, I say, well, what would you have preferred us to call it? Fellowship of Losers? I said, the Bible tells us that thanks be to God, right? Who has given us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Say that.
So at Fellowship of Champions, we have a very simple motto, and we say it all the time. And it is that our job is to teach people to walk in love, to live by faith, so that they can experience God's prosperity in every area of life. Because prosperity is not just money, but it does include money. Yeah. But it also includes peace and joy and good health. We want believers to know how to win in life. And so we say that we are a skills-based ministry. People say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, we say walking in love is a skill that can be learned. Learning to walk by faith is a skill that can be learned. Learning to experience God's prosperity in every area of your life is a skill that can be learned. And so we believe in not just preaching the word, but we believe in teaching the word so that the word that you hear can be the word that becomes a part of your everyday life.
Man, that is so powerful. That is so powerful. And it is so plain that's what the body of Christ is supposed to be, because there is nothing worse than seeing people who go to church and talk about how good church was and how exciting church was. And then you look at their life and you can't see no manifestation of that.
That was my testimony. That was my I grew up a Kojic kid.
Wow.
I knew all the do's and all the don'ts. I knew I had to spot a demon. I said growing up, we had TVs that was talking demons. We had cars that was rolling demons. Everything was a demon.
Yeah.
But what I noticed is that we all went to church. We all shouted. We stayed there from 8:30 on Sunday morning to about 6 o'clock at night, because we had YPWW, we had Sunday school, we had service. We shout for a full hour, just straight shout. But when people left, their lives didn't change.
Yeah.
And I was just like, early on when God called me into ministry, I said, it's got to be more than this. I don't want to be one of them preachers who just out here selling people a dream, telling them it's going to get better when they get to heaven. It's got to be better now.
The Bible says,
you know, that we should have days of heaven on earth. And what I was looking at, it didn't look like heaven. And I was like, if this is what heaven looked like, I don't want no parts. And
I
knew it had to be something different. And that is really how Fellowship of Champions was birthed. It was birthed out of this idea that, no, the word of God is real. It is tangible and it can change your everyday life. But there is a process, there is a system, there is a way in which you interact with the word, you put it into practice in your life, and then your life changes. We were talking before we came on, and you made a statement that we hear all the time, but it's so true. Faith without works is dead.
Yes.
And so we want to teach people, how do you employ your faith? How do you employ it?
Wow. Man, that is so good. Well, Pastor Strick, today's conversation is especially close to our heart here at my church channel and my church virtual ministries. It's a subject that I find myself discussing quite often with pastors and leaders, especially during the times in which we live. And recently you shared a post that so powerfully captured the who, what, why, and how we currently do ministry. And honestly, it put language to something God showed me years ago when we stepped into the current season that we're in. You know, prior to the pandemic, God was constantly pushing me to have an online presence so that when the pandemic hit, unlike many churches, we were not caught off guard. You know, during the pandemic, he told me to continue to invest in technology. So when churches began to reopen, God said that we were not going back. And that I was to continue focusing on the online community to the point that now we have a full-blown faith-based streaming network. You know, and I recognize that's not a small thing. That's something that is a huge work. That's a huge undertaking. We put a lot of effort into doing this and we do it with excellence because we believe that this is not something that we just decided to do. This is something that God has called us to do. And we put great effort into it. Our partners, they invest in this. They stand behind us because they know that this is the vision that God has given us. But over the years, when sharing our vision, I've noticed that many of our peers, you know, our brethren in the faith, you know, fellow pastors and leaders, look at me as if I've abandoned the faith. As if I've turned my back on disciples and you know, and on the people of God. And that's why your post really blessed my spirit, you know, and that's why I wanted to have you on today, because it was not only confirmation, but affirmation once again, that we have the heart of God. Now, your post started with the line, I want to say this with a pastor's heart, because behind every screen is a real person with a real story. Now that alone preached. Tell me where that burden led you to write. What burden led you to write that?
So much like you, our ministry changed a lot after 2020. When we started our ministry 25 years ago, we put in the official name of our church. It is Fellowship of Champions, Church International. Now, people call us FOC. We call ourselves Fellowship of Champions. But our name was Fellowship of Champions, Church International. The very first website we ever had developed, I'm talking about 25 years ago, so you know what that would look like today comparatively. We had a small little dot that would start on the screen on a globe. And as it went in, you would see the that little dot, that little star, was Fayetteville, Arkansas on a map. And then it would explode with stars all over the globe. So we always knew we were called to touch the masses around the world. Well, prior to the pandemic, if you think about it, in order to really touch the world, you had to do that through television.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to do that through television, you had to have an enormous amount of resources. It wasn't cheap. Even before they started requiring you to have, you know, digital things in 4K and all that. I remember one time Pastor Dollar talked about spending multi-million dollars a month on TV.
Yeah.
And so that wasn't something we could do. So we started doing what we could do. And so like you, we started looking at, okay, what are things we can use? What's technology that's out there that we can use that don't cost millions? So when the pandemic hit, like you, we were not cut off guard. And in fact, what we started doing is we started going heavy into online. Because like most people, we thought the pandemic would last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, we thought it would happen and be over with. But what I learned was, is that it wasn't going to be 2 weeks. And so we started making sure that we were able to continue to serve people through this online process. And so here recently, we've had so many people to say things like, well, why don't y'all have service every week? Why don't y'all do this? Why don't y'all do that? And I've heard other pastors begin to echo that across their platforms. So when I made the post and I said, I want to say this from a pastor's heart, because behind every screen is a real person, and it is, and a real story. It was because there were so many people who were being injured by the fact that people were saying, if you attend service online, that's not real church. And that just wasn't true. That just wasn't true. And I know how that was injuring people. And so I wanted to make a statement for them to understand you are attending real church. And I wanted to make a statement for the other people to know that, hey, when you say things like this, here's what you're doing to those individuals, if that makes sense.
And that's powerful, because scripture reminds us in 1 Samuel 16 and 7 that man looks at the outward appearance, mm-hmm. but the Lord looks at the heart.
Yes.
You know, too often we're looking at empty seats instead of full stories.
Oh, I love that.
We don't recognize, we don't look at the fact that the person that's not here is that single mother that has to work at the hotel front desk on the weekends, mm-hmm. or that has to work in the food service industry and she can't call out. That's the job that she has because she has three kids that's depending on her. And that's the job that she has. And, you know, because for years, we've heard people that take these arrogant mindsets that, well, if they trust God, God will believe, they believe God for another job. Well, it's funny how we say that, but we're the same people who get mad because Chick-fil-A is closed on Sunday and we want a chicken sandwich.
Right.
So who's gonna seat you when you go to your favorite restaurant after church on Sunday?
Right.
Who's gonna get you into your room when you got to preach out of town on Sunday? Yep. You know, those same people who are obligated to work mm-hmm. in the service industry, where do they get church at?
Yeah.
Who are those people who are going to bag your groceries when you got to stop by Walmart on the way home? And, you know, who are those people? Where do they get God at? You know, do we want heathens? Because we always get mad when somebody treats us like they're a heathen when we go to those places. So do we want only the heathens working in those industries and everybody else to come to church? Because as I thought, the gospel was that God wanted everybody to be saved.
Yeah.
And so if that's the case, how is it that we don't want anybody, either we want the world to be shut down on Sunday, like it was in the Old Testament days, that the Sabbath don't nobody get to work. So from Saturday, you know, onward, then you better get everything you need. You better make sure you got gas And you better make sure you cook before you left, because ain't no going out to eat after church. Ain't no traveling. Ain't no getting no gas, because everything is shut down. Or we have to be able to minister to the God-loving people that have lives out here. And then not to mention, like you said, those people who have experienced church hurt, those people who have dealt with those situations, those people who have come up in those churches, like you said, that they've been in church from 8 o'clock to 6 o'clock on Sunday evening and never got anything out of life. And they tired of that because their life, they've been tired of getting beat up by the devil all their life. And they like, man, I still been getting beat. And so if I'm going to do all of that, I might as well get me some rest, because I got to go to work the rest of the week. So let me do something that I'm going to actually do something to that's going to benefit my life. And so if that person can now say, if I get to stay home and I can sit here and watch Fellowship of Champions, and he can teach me how to get my life right and actually benefit my life instead of going down here and running around and getting tired, and now I got to go work the rest of the week, then what's wrong with that?
Yeah, you know, the issue is, and I tell people all the time, people aren't leaving the traditional church, the four walls of the church, but online service just out of rebellion. The idea that pastors are saying to people, well, if you're only attending online, you in rebellion to God. There's a multitude of reasons why people are beginning to digest the word of God online. And for us to not understand that as pastors, in my opinion, is to be very short-sighted, because that, you know, we got people who have health challenges, right?
Yes.
We live in a society, let's just be honest, where we have a lot of single parents who have children, who have activities and other things to do. We have people who have experience, and I know people, pastors don't like talking about it, but we have people who have experienced church hurt, and they don't necessarily want to go to church where there are other people, where they haven't healed from that trauma that they experienced, right? That doesn't mean we let them stay there, but online ministry may be a doorway to open them back up to that comfortability. You know, what we have found here at Fellowship of Champions, you know, we are what you would consider to be, according to Barner statistics, an average size church. They say that an average size church in America is somewhere between 100 and 300 people. Mm-hmm. That most churches are, you know, mm-hmm. we see the mega churches, but that most churches are between 100 and 300. Yep. We are right in the middle of that number when you think about our local ecclesia, our mm-hmm. local church, right? Mm-hmm. But since 2020, we have literally added thousands of partners to our ministry. Mm-hmm. We minister to people. We have people who literally, when I say partners, I don't just mean people who watch because it's online. I mean people who say Fellowship of Champions is my home. We have people in Germany. We have people in Australia. We have people in South Africa. We have people in the UK. Those individuals who show up for prayer, they show up for Wednesday night Bible study, although it be sometime Wednesday afternoon, their time because of time difference. They show up on Sundays, which is actually Monday in Australia, right? Yeah. but they're showing up for the word, and they say, this is my church. And we've had people who said, I hadn't been to church in 10 years, but now this is my home. And so when the word of God tells us to take the gospel, you know, into Judea and Samaria, into the uttermost parts of the earth, that's what online ministry is doing. The truth of the matter is that some of the same people who are saying, y'all need to come back to church, if they would embrace this idea of ministering to people where they are, they could actually get them to come back to church. Mm-hmm. We are seeing people come back. People who said, I ain't been in the church in 5 years, 10 years, but I've been watching Fellowship of Champions, and I feel like we family. So when y'all have the huddles or when y'all have the rallies, I'm coming to see my people, because I used to talking to people online. I mean, literally, when we go live, we have people who be like, hey, where's so-and-so? Where's so-and-so? They're like, I'm right here, sis. Here I am. You know, we got people shouting out their city, shouting out their state, and they feel like they're a part of a community. And so as a result, now they're more apt to actually come to service. And so pastors have to be careful, because when pastors criticize online ministry And when pastors talk about church and all that, people don't hear that as correction. They hear it as criticizing. And anytime that you're criticizing someone without relationship, all you're doing is chasing them away. The Bible says it is the goodness of God that draws men to repentance. You shaking your fist online while you online telling people they need to come to service is not going to be the way to get them to come to service. You got to make people feel connected. You got to give people a why. We call it a BHAG, a big, hairy, audacious goal. What's your BHAG for getting them to come back? What's the big, hairy, audacious goal? And we begin to tell people, you know, hey, listen, there is two things happening right now in America, and people need to know this. There is research that says there is a loneliness epidemic happening in America, that people are lonelier now than they were when the pandemic started. Mm-hmm. The second thing is that there's a friendship epidemic, which means that people who had friends prior to the pandemic have fewer friends then they have fewer friends now than they did. So you take the fact that people have less friends and that they're lonely, they are starving for connection. And online ministry is one of the ways you can connect with people and also teach them the gospel.
And you know, the thing that always bothers me when people try to push this thing about coming into the building, the reason why that really bothers me is because how many times have you seen this? And I know I've seen it all my life. People come in the building. You sit there beside people. You talk to them because the pastor says, turn to your neighbor. But as soon as church is over, you get up and leave and you don't see that person again until next week. So that's still not community for you. That's still not somebody you're connected to. That's just literally coming into the building. So a lot of these pastors who are demanding people to come into the building, they're not doing it for the sake of creating community. To be all honest, those pastors who are shaking their fists and saying, you need to get in the building and this is this. God showed me this during the pandemic when everybody was coming back. The reason why so many people did so many, and I saw a whole lot of stuff during the pandemic, a whole lot of stuff that I thought was crazy. And please don't get offended if you was one of these folks. I saw folks in the middle of July having folks pull up in their parking lot, sit in their cars, tune their radio, and you standing out in 100-degree weather talking on a speaker with people sitting in their parking lot looking at you, standing in the parking lot, preaching. And you weren't preaching because of the people walking by. You were preaching to people sitting in their car with their car running, wasting their gas and their air conditioning for the semblance of saying that they were coming to the church versus them being at home in their air conditioned homes and you're being in an air conditioned building preaching. Now, what was the purpose of that? The purpose was... If you don't come to the club, you ain't going to pay no cover charge.
That's true, too. That's true. I mean, let's call it what it is.
Let's call it what it is. That's what this was.
They felt like if I don't get to see you,
I can't coerce you to give.
Yeah.
And that's what that really was all about. And that's really what a lot of this is about. When they're saying you need to come into the building, it's because I don't trust you online to give. But if I can get you in the building, then now you feel more guilty about when that bucket gets passed.
Yeah.
That if you can't sit here in front of me and watch the bucket pass and you don't do something.
Yeah. But that speaks volumes, though, you know, because here's what I'll tell you. People are going to do what people are going to do.
Exactly.
And if you have to rely on manipulation to get anything from anybody, That's wrong. And so what happens is I feel like a lot of these people who are giving these scathing reports to people about how they're not coming back to church, you're right. They do want them to come back because they do feel like if I can get you in the building, you can give. But even more sadly than that, because it takes resources to run ministry. I get
absolutely.
That. What I find even more tragic than that is that they're actually doing it for their own ego.
Yes, because I need an audience.
I want the building to be full.
Yes.
If I'm preaching online, how do I know whether anybody is listening to me or not?
Exactly.
That is an ego thing.
Yes.
That is a centric kind of way of thinking.
I need to have applause. I need to have amens.
Come on, Doc.
I need somebody to push me. And if that's the case, because that was something that God delivered me of when I first started preaching.
Mm-hmm,
God said, you are preaching for an audience of one. Everybody else just gets to listen.
Yep.
So as long as you said what I tell you to say, then you ought to go home satisfied.
Absolutely. 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 100%. That is what people need to understand. And I'm not here to bash any other pastor, but I am saying, I think you have to ask yourself, why is it so important for you to only have people in a building?
Yes.
Because the truth of the matter is, if we look at the New Testament church, they taught each other from house to house.
They actually
grew ministry through small group ministry.
They
didn't do it by the gathering of all the people one day a week to come hear one person talk. That wasn't how they added 3,000 to the church daily.
No. And when they told them to not stop meeting together, it was for them building community.
Community.
And see, this is the thing. This is the other part of that. The Bible says that no flesh can glory in his presence.
Yeah.
So in order for us to get to God, we got to get out of the flesh in the first place.
Yep.
And the Bible says spirit knows spirit and flesh knows flesh. So in order for me and you to fellowship, we both got to get out of the flesh in the first place.
Yep.
So all ministry and all fellowship is virtual.
Mm-hmm.
So me and you fellowshipping right now, we fellowshipping right now better than we could if we were actually in the building.
Absolutely.
So
Absolutely.
Virtual ministry is the thing that actually allows us to get out of this and to get there. Because how many times you've been in church and somebody sneeze or somebody got an aroma that takes you out of the spirit?
Right.
Somebody makes a noise.
Yep.
Somebody does something that now you back in your flesh.
Yeah.
People don't realize there's so many distractions sometimes. And I'm not telling you that you should not be in a building, but these
Absolutely
are the things
not.
That we right. are talking about that are saying that these things are things that enhance
yes.
the spirit, or these are the yeah. things, but these are physical things we're talking about.
Yeah.
So how can you be talking about these are things that are contrary when these are the things that are actually contrary to the spirit? So when we're talking connection, connection is the actual relationship. And you can build relationships virtually just as you can in person. And most of the time when you're talking in person, you don't see people building relationships in the building. Because like you said, most people who come in the building, they're trying to get out as fast as they can to get to their favorite restaurant and their favorite reservation that they done made. The connections happen afterwards anyway.
I was just about to say, even if you really think about it, the connection really happens in some other group form.
Yes.
You're not building connection while you're sitting there listening to someone teach.
Exactly.
That's not where you're building the connection. You're building that connection because maybe afterwards you end up going to dinner with a group of friends, you invite a new person to come, or you have a small group. If your church has small group ministry and y'all get to know each other and you get to understand how each other functions and you get to know what each other's hurts are, what each other's strengths and weaknesses are, that's how you build a community. The community isn't built just because, like you said, you come in the building. But I think another thing that we have to remember, too, is that God really wants to touch this next generation.
Yes.
He really wants to touch every generation he wants to touch. But we're dealing with a generation of people who weren't raised the way we were raised. And I'll give you a prime example. When you and I were growing up, if we wanted to talk to a girl,
yes,
you know, we talked to the girl.
Say that.
We had to have a conversation.
You gotta have some rap. You gotta have some game.
You had to go, you had to have a smooth line. You had to go up to her and kind of do like this and say, what, say, did you just fall from heaven? It had to be something smooth. Hey. It had to be something funny, right?
Hey, but I know you're tired because you've been running through my mind all day.
All night.
Yeah.
But nowadays, we are serving a generation of kids who don't interact that way. They do everything through, they do everything virtually.
They don't even ask for phone numbers. They can I follow you on TikTok? You know,
Now Instagram. They don't even do that. They just walk up and tap each other's phone now.
Yeah.
They just be like, they hold their phone out, another person, they know what it means. They just hold their phone out and tap and follow on IG or TikTok or whatever. And so we are trying to put what I'm gonna use this metaphor. We're trying to put new wine in old skins.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to change the message, but the methodology
has to change.
It has to change.
You know, it's crazy. God showed me something years ago when all of this started happening. God told me this. God said, we are fighting a digital devil with the analog church.
Yep.
And when he showed me that, it blew my mind. I said, man, this is crazy. I said, because that's the problem. If you look every movie you watch, if you watch every commercial that you see, there's all these horror movies. And I mean, they 4K, 8K, like you said. And I mean, the graphics and the special effects, it's like next level. And you see these people with their online ministry, and you see somebody sitting there with a cell phone on Facebook and it's shaking like this because somebody in the third row sitting there trying. And that's your online presence, because that's how much you value this.
Yep.
Because you don't think it's important. But look at where the enemy is. And that's the thing, because we don't think that this matters. But like you said, this is where your kids live. This is where the next generation lives. And they're the generation that has to fight him.
Yep.
They're the next generation church. They're the last day church. They're the ones that have to be prepared. And they're the ones that we have to reach. And that's why, like you said, this is so important, because this is the place where they're developing community. This is the place that we have to reach them. This is the place we have to give them to be involved. And I love it, because this is the thing. We've got to stop asking, why aren't they here, and start asking, what are they carrying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the shift alone changes how we preach, how we lead, how we serve.
Absolutely.
It goes from condemnation to connection.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you got to think, for we are also dealing with a generation of children who did not grow up going to church.
Yes.
Now, because what happens was, you and I about the same age. Mm-hmm. Our parents made us go to church.
Oh yeah, drug you.
And what happened for many people our age is they said, when I have kids, I ain't gonna make my kids go to church. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna let them choose. And so because of that, we are now looking at a generation and a generation behind them who didn't even grow up with the normalcy of going to church. And so now you're trying to get them to come into a place that is not only unfamiliar to them, but it's antithetical to the way they live their life. They live their life online. They live their life with a cell phone, with an iPad, with a computer. They live their life, like you said, being inundated with high-tech graphics. And if you and I and other pastors don't recognize that, then we lose the opportunity to catch their attention. In fact, when we released Vision 2026 at our church this year, one of the things we started saying is that we are digital first, apostolic hub. In other words, we are a place where people from all over the world can come and access the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we don't care whether you're doing it from California or New York, Minnesota, Montana, Florida, Texas, Berlin, Alaska, Australia. With the click of a button, you have the ability to tap in to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I think that we do a disservice if everybody is not understanding that digital ministry is going to be just like television. They said television was going to go away with television. Nobody's going to sit around and watch a TV box. Now what's the biggest thing that sells every Christmas? And I keep wondering, wondering how many TVs do people need?
Exactly. And everybody keep buying them.
And I'm telling you, digital ministry. And for those pastors who are listening to this and trying to figure out, well, what Tucker and Strickland talking about real? If you don't make the decision to invest in your online ministry platform, in 10 years, your church is going to grow older and you're not going to be able to reach anybody because your church is going to get older, but you're not going to attract those newer people to your church.
And it's even in the name of the product, television. That's what it's there for.
It's there to cast your vision. Yeah.
It's there to cast a vision, whether it's yours or not. And so that's the thing. The enemy is using it to cast his, and we've got to start using it to cast ours.
Absolutely.
Because that's those tools have been in place for years, and we've just not taken advantage of it. And it's so much, and that's why, like you said, at the My Church channel and My Church Virtual Ministries, that's our assignment, is to make sure that the kingdom has platforms to put this information out here. Like you said, we are in place to be exactly that, a bridge.
Yes.
We're not a destination. We are a bridge. We're not a destination. Like I said, you know, last year, God gave me the opportunity to retire from Sunday morning ministry. I don't even preach on Sundays anymore. Mm. Like I said, but right now I've got three different ministries come on our channel on Sunday mornings. We've got my daughter's pastor out of Greensboro, Pastors Kendall and Kiara McDowell. They come on at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning. Then at 10 o'clock, Apostles Tony and Cynthia Brazelton come on our channel. And then at 12:30, Drs. Russell and Yavita Cash come on. Mm. And so we got three ministries to come on Sunday mornings. And then I do leadership training for pastors and leaders once a month. Pastor Bullock does Christian substance abuse training every week. And then every Thursday, we've got a different ministry. I do men's ministry. My wife does women's ministry. We do marriage ministry. And then we've got a talk show for pastors. And so we're constantly adding Christian content. And so this is to be a supplementary tool, like you said, for you, so that every day of the week you can get ministry. You can go to church on Sunday, but then the rest of the week, you're not sitting here looking for something. You've got ministry available. And like I said, that's why I'm always looking, God, what do you want me to add? So that you've got church available. You've got word available all the time. And you ain't got to go sorting through the inundated bunch of mess that's on YouTube and on Facebook and plow through all of the garbage that's out there. You've got a faith-based network that's like, I want me some word. I want some strong word. I can go here and say, I know. I can go on demand and say, Apostle Tony taught on this, you know, Dr. Cash taught on this, Pastor McDowell taught on this. I'm going to go grab this word, and I know I can get this. I'm struggling with substance abuse. I know Pastor Bullock got some word on this, and I can go get what I need to keep me strong as a believer. But these are the tools in place so that each believer can be strong and do these things. But that's why every ministry needs to have some kind of place for their people, so that when they leave the building on Sunday, what am I going to do the rest of the week?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And those are the things that so many people don't recognize. Even when, before we started doing this, that was something God told me years ago. If it's not recorded in some way, if they can't go back and reference it, then it never happened. Mm. Because think about the mother that's sitting there with kids in the seats, and she's sitting there trying to listen to your preaching and teaching, and she's distracted. When she leaves church, what's going to happen with her?
Yep.
What about the person that's sick and, like you said, can't come to church? What's going to happen to them? What about your college students that leave and have to go home for the summer? Now they got to go and go find somewhere else to get. And so, like you said, if you don't invest in this kind of ministry, then it doesn't mean anything. And so, like you say, when you with one hand want to condemn it because you're trying to get people in the building for your ego or for finances or for whatever purpose that you feel like is the most important thing, You can't kill it with one hand and then try to raise it up with the other.
Yeah, and here's the piece I think we miss with that too, is that online ministry, as you just mentioned, is a key to discipleship. Now, why do I say it's a key to discipleship? We say at our church all the time that you should not despise repetitive teaching.
Yes.
If you want to learn how to swing a golf club, you're not going to swing a golf club one time and be an expert. You want to learn how to bowl a bowling ball. You're not going to throw the ball down the lane one time and be an expert. You want to learn how to shoot a basketball, a free throw. You're not going to do it one time. So in everything in our society, even in education, you want to be a doctor? You ain't just going to take one class.
Nope.
You're going to go to medical school for years.
Yes.
In everything we do through repetition. But when it comes to the word of God, we act like we shouldn't do repetition. And so, like you said, if it's not recorded, it didn't happen. So we make a challenge at Fellowship of Champions. We have four commitments. And one of those four commitments is we ask everybody in our church to not miss a single service.
Wow.
And when people hear that, they go, whoa, what do you mean don't miss a service? You mean I can't go on vacation? Nope, that's not what we're saying. You mean I can't just take a break because I'm tired? No, that's not what I'm saying. What we're saying is we're going to teach the word and we're going to make it available to you. And what we're asking you to do is to make the commitment that you don't miss it, meaning that when you aren't able to watch it live, you make the commitment and go back and hear it, that you go back and get the teaching. That if you hear me teach on faith and it doesn't make sense to you, you hit that little red button and you go all the way back to the beginning. You get your Bible out, you get your concordance out, and you do it. And if I preach for an hour and that's too long for you, then take me at 10 minutes at a time.
Yeah, push pause, back, push pause, back, go get you a snack and come
do,
back.
Do something else. You need to take your kids to the basketball practice and you got 30 minutes to sit in the car, listen to it then. And when we started talking to people about that, they were like, this makes so much sense. I can digest this in smaller pieces because it's recorded. I can go back and listen to it. I can share with my friends. We can talk about it. That doesn't happen just when you come and sit in the building. And let's be honest, nobody's buying CDs anymore.
Nope.
Nobody's buying MP3s anymore. I went to a church recently, and that's literally what they were doing after service was over. Like, where are you gonna play that CD at?
Yeah, cars don't come with them no more.
I mean, you may have older people in your ministry who still got a CD, but younger people don't have no CD.
No, cars don't even come with them no more.
No, everything got Apple Play and CarPlay and everything else, you know? And so if you're not updating your ministry to be a digital first ministry, even if you're not talking about online, you're doing your ministry and your people a disservice, because people need to be able, you know, there was some research that says that people's attention span is actually getting shorter. And it's getting shorter because of the way we digest information. We take in information in short bursts.
Yeah, in reels and TikToks and all these things.
Absolutely. And they come in short bursts. And what it really does is physiologically, it rewires our brain to digest information in smaller bits. And so if you go to church and you sit there listening to somebody preach for 30 to 45 minutes, you're only retaining about 7 minutes of what they said. But if you can get people to listen to you online, maybe while they're folding laundry, they're actually listening to you more actively than if they were sitting in the service thinking about the laundry they got to fold.
Yes. Yes.
And that's not what I'm telling you. That's what people have told us. They said, I learned so much more because I'm actively listening. Even though I may be having to take care of this, I got it on my TV. I got it in my headphones. I can pause it. If my doorbell rings, I pause it. I go to the door, I check what's going on at the door, I come back, and I pick up right where I left off, even though you may still be teaching.
And that is the power of this. And
absolutely.
It's so sad that we villainize stuff that either we're not familiar with or we're uncomfortable with because we're clinging to comfort.
Yep.
And that is the sad thing, because these are tools. That's all they are tools. And that's the sad thing. If you don't advance with something, you can get run over with it. And so many people, that's the case, that they are worried about something, taking something from them. And that's going to be the case if you don't embrace it. Mm-hmm. You're going to be in that situation where, you know, people are going to, the people you're worried about losing, you're going to lose anyway, because yep. society is going to move faster. And like you said, you're going to find yourself in this place where you're still stuck. And so you need to embrace the change because it's going to benefit you and the kingdom.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the question we should be asking, I think, is not why aren't people coming back to church? The question should be is how do we reach them where they are?
Yes.
I think that's the question we need to be asking. And pastors have to be careful because we say this all the time, that language is a locator.
Yes.
And pastors have to be careful with their words. If you make it such that people feel like they're not valuable because they don't come to church, then you lose your ability to ever get them to come to church. And hear me, the reason they should be coming to church is not because it's the only way they can get the gospel. They should want to come to church because they should feel comfortable enough to be part of community.
Yes.
And that's the thing we're missing. Many people aren't coming because they don't feel comfortable being part of community. And then we villainize, sometimes we, you know, on the other hand, we villainize mega churches, right? Mm-hmm. But sometimes the reason that people go to mega churches is because they don't have to have community.
Yes.
And so they're hiding.
They're hiding.
And so the reality of it is online ministry allows you to be authentic enough that people get to know who you are. So when they come through the doors, they already feel like there's a sense of belonging. Yes. And that's one of the things that we found.
And that's the other thing. It's a great advertisement for who you are. It allows people to test mm-hmm. drive your ministry before they mm-hmm. ever get there.
Absolutely.
Because there's one thing about people. If you're somebody who hasn't been to church in a while and you haven't had that opportunity to, or you've been out of church for a while, whether you've been hurt, you don't know what you're looking for. Yeah. And that's the most uncomfortable place for a lot of people shopping for church. People will say, I'm looking for a church. And when you talk to people, you say that, they say that, but they're not really looking for a church because that's so uncomfortable for them. They don't like going and having to sit in this group of people they don't know. They don't like going into this place. And then they go in there and it's dry, or like whether it's praise and worship is dry, whether or not the word is not applicable to them. And so they feel like now I've gone and wasted a whole day. I've sat up in here with these people. They've made me feel uncomfortable. The people were rude or what have you. And mm-hmm. so they feel like they don't have anything. Well, online ministry gives them an opportunity to check you out with yep. no pressure.
That's right.
Because they don't feel like they're on display, but they get to peek in your window. Yep. And so that's what that does. It gives you an opportunity to give people what you have to offer so that they say, okay, now if I've been watching this and they're like, ooh, that really hit me. So now God's speaking to me, and they start to hear your voice and they're like, okay. So now they're allowed to see, ooh, that word Pastor Strick taught, that really blessed me. Mm-hmm. So now I go back and listen again next week. Ooh, that one really hit me. So mm-hmm. now I'm starting to say, and now it's not costing me anything because like you right. said, I'm watching this while I'm folding clothes. I'm right. watching this while I'm cooking dinner.
Yeah.
And so now after 3 weeks of this, and I'm like, every time I watch him, God's speaking to me, but I'm watching this guy and this guy ain't giving me nothing. This guy ain't giving me nothing. Evidently, Fellowship of Champions might be my church.
Yep. That's how it happens.
And that's how it happens. God will lead them where they're supposed to be, but absolutely. You're missing out on the people that you need because you're demanding for them to come. And they're like, I ain't driving 30 minutes across town to come see you and I don't know who you are.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that because like you said, that's causing me to take a commitment and I don't even know what I'm going to get out of it. You're asking people to gamble on you and you've not given them anything. And so, like I said, once again, these are opportunities that we're missing out on. And we see people come to church and could they come to Christ online. We yes, see marriages absolutely. Restored online. Absolutely. We watch pastors get refreshed online. And eventually many of them find their way back to physical community.
They do. But here's the thing. You cannot shame people into community.
No.
I told a pastor friend of mine that I said, you're not going to shame people into coming to community. Because we were having a discussion about, well, how do you even disciple people when they're online? And I said, you know, one of the things we do when it's a very simple thing. When we're online, when we ask people if they want to give their life to Christ or if they want to rededicate their life to come back to the Lord, we ask them to put a 5 in the comment section. And then after they put that 5 in the comment section, we take a look. We have virtual greeters who are working on the back end of it. And then what we do is immediately when service is off, we have a standing Zoom line that people can jump on Zoom. When they jump on that Zoom line, we already have our intercessory prayer team in breakout rooms. When people come in, we ask them what it is that they want to pray for. You know, they need prayer for, they want to receive salvation, whatever it is. And based on that, we send them to a room. And now those people are getting one-on-one ministry in real time, no matter where they are. Mm. No matter where they are, you can be in Arizona. We had somebody last week in Arizona, gave their life to Christ, said, hey, I've been to church before, but I've never asked Jesus to be my, pardon for sin. I want to be saved. We put them into, they stayed after service. They went to the Zoom link. We put them right into the Zoom. They went into the breakout room in the Zoom. One of our intercessory prayer partners walked them through the prayer of salvation. And now they were back on Wednesday night. They was there this Sunday online, excited to be saved and a part of the kingdom. And that happened not because we said y'all need to come to the building. It happened because we embraced what God said, which is go to where they are.
And that's what it's supposed to be. That is so powerful. That is so powerful.
Because then you get to do one-on-one ministry with people.
And that lines up with another powerful line from your post. You said leadership is about influence, not control. Mm-hmm. And that is so powerful because that's kingdom leadership right there. You know, because so many pastors don't recognize you got to guard your heart from fear.
Yeah.
You know, that fear of losing, that fear of losing influence, that fear of losing attendance, you know, that fear of those empty rooms. You know, Jesus modeled this in John 6. When the crowd walked away after hearing that hard teaching, he didn't chase after them with guilt. He turned to the disciples and asked, do you want to go too? You know, that's trust. That's influence. He recognized.
And he didn't try to shame the ones who walked away.
No.
Because he knew there'd be opportunity for them to come back at some point.
Yeah. And he know the word going to do what the word does. Yep. All I got to do is do what God tell me to do. And this is going to work. See, we got to remember that. The Bible tells us in Corinthians that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Mm. Like you said, you can't shepherd people with pressure. No. You shepherd them with presence.
Yep. 100%.
You know, the
idea of controlling people, like you said, it comes from a place of fear. If you teach people to love the Lord thy God with all of thine heart and to love their neighbor as they love themselves. The Bible says on these two things hang every commandment.
Yes.
You don't have to try to control people when you teach that. But if you don't teach that, if you don't teach people that they have the opportunity to hear Holy Spirit for themselves, a lot of pastors, let's just be honest, there's a lot of pastors who they won't say it, but they want people to think that they're the only ones who hear from God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Becomes problem. And that becomes, that's another reason why they don't want people listening online. They don't want anybody to hear anybody but them because they don't want anything that they have said to ever have to be challenged or to be held up as true.
Yes. You know, that was something I thought was real funny too, because when the Lord told me to retire from Sunday morning, you know, and I was telling people that, they were like, well, who gonna preach? I'm like, whoever he tell me to put in my slot.
Right.
You know, and that's the thing I told my wife. I said, I'm so, because she asked, I remember she asked me what I told her. She said, how do you feel about it? I said, I don't feel nothing. I said, because I didn't start preaching because I wanted to.
Right.
I said, so I don't have no stake in this, because if I didn't do this because I wanted to, I'm not going to keep doing this because I want to. I'm not going to say nothing unless he tell me to.
Yeah. But see, you didn't have your reputation tied up into it.
Exactly.
And that's the problem what we're talking about here. A lot of this is that too many people have their reputations tied up into, I'm preaching and I need people to be here to see me do it.
Yes. Yes. And that, you know, and that was the biggest test of the pandemic. I was telling somebody this one day, we were talking about the pandemic. I said, the pandemic was a true test for everybody. I said, mm-hmm. they don't recognize that's what this was. I said, yep. it was a proving ground for the Lord. Mm-hmm. I said, because what it did was God wanted to know who's really with him. I yep. said, for the people in the congregation, I said, the word kept going forth. I yeah. said, so it was like, it okay, sure so even if we're not in the building, are you going to come get the word? Because right. the word's still here. Or still are you coming to socialize with your friends?
Come on.
So that's the first question. You know, for the people in the praise team, can you praise me at home? Or are you coming to showcase, you know, for, right. for Showtime at the Apollo? Right. Right. You know, how does this work? What right. are we doing this for? You know, for the pastor, can you preach when it's just you, me, and the camera?
Right.
Or do you need somebody shouting you? Like I said, that's what this is about. Like yep. I said, for your stewardship, can you give when ain't nobody got a bucket in front of you? Right. What is this really about? Because yep. this is the thing. Where's your faithfulness?
Yes.
And what's the motivation behind it? Because that was the true test of your faithfulness. Because if this is what you actually need to be faithful, then it ain't about God.
It ain't about God.
And that's what we saw. Because so many times, I saw it for sure. There were people, because when the pandemic happened and they said not to come back in the building, we didn't miss a beat. Like you said, all of our stuff was in place. I asked God, I said, yep. what are we going to do? God said the same thing you've been doing. So yep. I started broadcasting. And so I would call around and check on all of the disciples. And as soon as I get on the phone with some, because I hadn't seen them log on, so I'm checking, I'm like, hey, when we going back in the building? I'm like, why are you worried about the building? I ain't seen you log on. The word been going forth. So did you leave something in the building? I'm like, you know, that's my wonder. I mean, something locked up in the building, I can go get it for you. I'm wondering, is something in the building that you need? Because the word is happening. So what's the problem? But that was the thing. And there were some people who that was their current refrain every time I would talk to them, when we going back in the building. So I'm like, what's the attachment to the building?
Yeah.
And that was the thing God showed me. God said, they're not looking for the word. They're not looking for me. They're looking for a building.
Wow. Wow.
And so that's the thing. And so it proves itself on everybody. And so many pastors, that was their thing. It's like, if I don't have an audience, what am I going to do? Mm. You know, and it's like, how does that work? And the funny thing is, I got a bunch of my friends that are comedians, and they're entertainers. So rightfully so. It was hard for them because yeah. they're used to having an audience.
Yeah.
But if you're a pastor, you're a preacher, how is this hard for you? That's telling you, because you have gotten used to being an entertainer.
Yeah. That's the problem.
That's the problem for you.
Yep.
That's the problem. That's what it showed you. It showed you mm-hmm. what it was, because you have gotten into entertaining instead of empowering. Because if you're empowering, then that's what you're supposed to be doing. All yep. you got to do is give it out there.
Yeah.
That's your job. And so many guys miss that, because like you said, the word says go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And that's what we're doing, because this gives you the ability to reach the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The My Church channel is on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, LG TV. Every TV that is sold now is a smart TV. You can get the gospel in every house in the world.
I love that.
And so, and you telling me that I was supposed to be satisfied with the people that could fit in the number that was on that fire marshal occupancy certificate on the
right.
wall.
Right.
So I'm doing worse now. And now everybody who's got a TV that has internet access, everybody who has a smart tablet or a smart device can get the word. So I multiplied my reach for the kingdom, but I'm doing a less service because I'm not focused on a building.
Yeah. And it's all about perspective.
Perspective.
Having that wrong perspective will keep you in that limited mindset. You won't have that growth mindset that says, hey, I can reach more and do more if I'm willing to do more and willing to do something different. You got to be willing to do something different.
Yeah. See, we got to remember that digital ministry isn't replacing the church. It's actually extending it.
Yeah, absolutely right.
And that is so important. So important that we've got to see that it is so important for us to get this, because if we don't recognize this, like I said, we're going to miss the next phase of what God is doing. Mm-hmm. And the wonderful thing I love about this part of it, it allows collaboration.
It does.
It gives us the ability to connect with other pastors, just like what we're doing now.
Yeah, we would never have this conversation if we could only talk about things like this when we saw each other in person. We live too far away. There's too much distance in between. But with technology, we can come together like this. We could bring 20 more people together like this and all share and get this out to all of our platforms and reach many, many, many more people many times faster than, as you say, the old analog way.
Exactly. And that's the thing people don't recognize. It's like, do you recognize the resources that it will require to get a ministry gift of the magnitude of Pastor Strickland to minister for us if we didn't have digital ministry?
Yeah.
It's like, man, you got to get a plane ticket. You got to get a hotel. He coming from Arkansas, man. That's not, no, like you said, that's not no car ride up the road. That's out there. So it's like, but you don't recognize this gives you the ability to share these gifts with the world. And everybody gets blessed by that. And now other people are growing.
Yeah, absolutely.
It allows us, like you said, to push these other ministries. Like I told you, my daughter's pastor, man, they are young. They're in their fourth year of ministry. And Pastor Strick, I'm telling you, I talk about him everywhere I go, man. I have never seen such an anointed young couple, so humble. But man, their ministry last year, they had 194 souls got saved.
I love it.
They baptized 67, and they're about 90% of their church is 30s and below.
I love it. Reaching the young generation.
They got a Joshua Generation church. Their church is on fire, man. And he's doing it the right way. And so God told me just get behind him and push him. I've adopted them. They got spiritual parents, man, but I've adopted them just like another one of my sons, man. And I push them as hard as I can push them. But I'm just like, and the Lord said, put them on the channel, man, push them. I'm like, because what they got on them, the world needs, man, because they are anointed. And it's like, that's what these platforms are for. It's for us to collaborate and to help these gifts get into the body. Mm. They did a series last year called The School of Gifts. And I featured it during our Leadership Academy. Man, I have never heard anybody in my 26 years of teaching break down the spiritual gifts so clearly. Man, because you know all of the muck and the murk that surrounds the spiritual gifts in the church.
Right.
You know,
right.
You got churches out there, oh, we don't do that speaking in tongues stuff. We don't believe in this. That. Mm-hmm. Man, he broke it down to the point that you could find a backwoods country church. If they'd have sat there and watched it, they'd have been like, we want the gifts of tongues today. Because, I mean, he took all of the spooky out of it. I mean, he broke it down. Yeah. I mean, and I was like, dude, I ain't never seen nobody do it like that. I was like, God is on him heavy. And I'm like, but it would have stuck right there where he at.
Yeah.
If God hadn't told me, take the platform and push it.
Absolutely.
But that's what our platforms and that's what online ministry does. You can now take these things and now, like, you can say, you know, a pastor, you're like, hey, here, take this link, watch this, share it with your leaders. This stuff can be multiplied, shared, and we can extend this stuff and help the kingdom, which is what we're supposed to be doing.
Absolutely.
But we're still fighting against the very things that God has given us to be tools.
Yep.
And until we get past that, it's going to constantly be bumping our heads, and we're going to be losing ground instead of taking ground.
Yeah.
Man, to every party pastor watching, online ministry is not your competition.
Amen.
It's your
to that.
Ally.
Amen.
It's not a threat to the body. It's a tool for the body. You know, at my church channel and my church virtual ministry, our mission is simple. Reach who you can, how you can, while you can. Because behind every screen is a soul.
Every soul.
And behind every click is a calling.
That's right.
Behind every viewer is someone Jesus died for. Pastor Strick, I want to thank you for your heart, your wisdom, your courage.
God bless you, sir.
Say what so many pastors may be feeling. You know, this was a blessing, man. I tell you, this was a sure enough blessing. And I want to thank everybody for watching. Pastor Strick, anything you want to leave the folks with today?
Here's what I'll say to everybody out there who feels, for lack of a better word, picked on, because you feel like if you have heard the Holy Spirit tell you to go into the direction of digital ministry. I want you to know that you are not wrong. I want you to know that there oftentimes is a cost for being a trailblazer, but there's also a reward. And if the Lord has called you to digital ministry, do it with excellence, because you never know where a share, where a story, where a reel is going to end up. And I can tell you, not by what I've heard, but what I know, is that a simple share can absolutely change someone's life. We have a young lady who is a part of our ministry now. She didn't know who we were, had never heard of us. And somebody on her timeline shared one of our messages. And in that message, we were talking about the hope that comes from above. And she heard that message. And she, from that day, decided that she no longer was going to live her life wondering whether she should even be alive, wondering if anybody cared, wondering if anybody loved her. And over the course of the last couple of years, I can tell you that if anybody knew her 2 years ago, they wouldn't recognize her today. And that's not just because I shared a word. I shared the word, but she never hears it if somebody online doesn't share it. And so do what God's called you to do. Be a trailblazer. If the Lord's calling you to online ministry, whether to be a minister online, whether to support an online ministry, maybe you got tech skills and you feel like you're supposed to come alongside somebody like Pastor Tucker or myself or some other minister, and you can help push that gospel out, use your skills, use your talents, use your know-how, and let's get the gospel to every corner of this world.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Man, this has been a good. And if you've been blessed by this episode of Heart of the Pastor or any of the ministries here at My Church Virtual Ministries, and you want to help us continue to do what God has called us to do, you can do so by sowing a financial seed. You can use Cash App, $ My Church Channel. We have all kinds of ministries here. We've got, like I said, we've got three different ministries that come on Sunday morning. We've got Reveal TV with Pastors Kendall and Kiara McDowell. We've got Victory Today with Apostles Tony and Cynthia Brazelton. We've got The Enjoyable Life with Drs. Russell and Yavita Cash. We've got the Leadership Academy. We've got Medicine for the Mind. We've got Women of Worth. We've got the Man Cave. We've got Marriage Seer Training. And of course, we've got the Heart of the Pastor. And we've even got My Church Laughs, all kinds of Christian comedy. But we've got a fully faith streaming network to be a supplementary tool to help you with your walk with Christ. And if you want to help us continue to do what God's called us to do, sow a financial seed. But whatever you do, make sure you share this program with somebody you know who needs it, because you know somebody who needs to hear this message. But God bless you. We love you. And make sure you come back and watch with us again. Stay tuned for our announcement. God bless you. I love you. I'm Pastor Tuck. That's Pastor Strick. and see you again on next time. God bless you. Peace.
Breaking news. We interrupt your regularly scheduled programming with a special alert. Get ready for the premiere of Reveal TV on the My Church channel, featuring the powerful preaching and teaching ministry of pastors Kendall and Kiara McDowell. Experience a word that is truly prophetic, anointed, and spirit-filled to change your life. Coming to the My Church channel Sundays at 8 a.m. Experience the dynamic ministry of Reveal TV, coming soon to the My Church channel. Don't miss it.
When we are cultivating an intimacy with God on that level, we are doing more than just receiving mere instruction. We are receiving direction.
You were approved before you ever acted, chosen before you even understood the assignment.
You need to hear this and hear this clearly. You are the most important person in this church.
And if you stay connected, they're going to contaminate your faith. They're going to pull you from the path that I'm trying to take you on.
That scripture tells you exactly how to use the Bible to overcome addiction.
Women in the Bible may have been minimized, but there were a lot of powerful women. I'm certain they poured into others.
And that's why we've got to learn to not despise our seasons, because it's the thing that teaches us how to trust God.
Gratitude melts tension. It softens hearts and opens doors for deeper communication.
People always want to make change more difficult than it is, but every change starts with a choice. At My Church, we help people get better by teaching them how the Word works, and we want to make sure there's no excuse not to get the Word. It's our goal to make all of our ministries accessible on every smartphone, tablet, PC, and television connected to the internet. So whether you're a man who needs some wisdom, a woman who needs some encouragement, or a couple who needs guidance, the My Church channel has just what you need. Simply search for the My Church channel on Roku, Fire Stick, Apple TV, Google TV, and now LG TV, or visit mychurchchannel.org. You can also download the My Church on the Go app from the Apple or Google Play App Store. Constantly on the move, check out the Word at My Church podcast from your favorite podcast platform. Or simply download the Word at My Church skill from your Alexa-enabled device. But whatever you do, make sure you stay connected. See you soon.